When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ayo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I didn't need to use my risk-free bets tonight because the White Sox lost 8-2, and I told you from the jump at pregame. Welcome into the CHGO White Sox postgame show. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Alongside me, as always, is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. All right, there is a game to talk about absolutely here, but we didn't talk about this on the pregame because I kind of wanted this to be what we opened up with on the postgame tonight, and we want to give all of our thoughts and all of our frustration with the town of Highland Park after what happened on July 4th, where their Independence Day parade was broken out by a mass shooting. And I'm 24 years old. I've never stepped foot into a school post-Columbine. I mean, every school I've stepped into has been post-Columbine. And you can definitely get numb to it, but then when you see good friends or people you know tweeting out that they were there, like Kevin Fishbane, who we worked with a ton at 670 The Score, it's terrifying. And it's definitely now too close to home. And I don't know what side of the aisle you are on, but I just want to say that this needs to stop because people are feeling unsafe just to leave their houses. And we need to take every measure to stop this. And it's truly tough to put it into words when this keeps happening and happening. And there's, you know, not only one in Chicago, there's one in Philadelphia, and then people are getting hit outside Oakland A's ballpark as well, all on the same day. It's a scary time out there, and I just want to give all of our love to our community members out in Highland Park.
Hear, hear, Sean, and I echo your sentiments. Yes, enough is enough. It's been enough, and we need more legislation. We need more common sense things that need to happen. We had one thing pass. Now let's continue on the fight so we can continue to have a life here in America and don't need to be scared about going outside to celebrate the independence of this country. So, yeah, for the seven victims who passed, to their families, definitely, we're thinking about you, and we're tired, and we could not imagine what you're going through.
Yeah, it's truly a sad time in our country, and I would love to say it's going to get better. I would love to say that things will change, but I've been beaten down by this for my whole life, and I have a feeling that a lot of people out there feel the same way, and hopefully this ends and ends soon because this is the only country where this truly happens. It's tough to segue out of this, but the White Sox lost tonight 8-2, and Herb, we saw it coming from a mile away. Yeah. I predicted 6-2, they lost 8-2, and it's because the Minnesota Twins hit a lot more home runs than the White Sox, and that's been kind of the White Sox state this entire year, is this offense hasn't been able to produce, and hey, you know, 8 runs is a tough deficit to come by, but we saw this last night. Twins didn't score 8 runs last night, especially in the first 3 innings. They only scored, or first 9 innings, they only scored 2, so it's pretty distraught, or at least it's stressing for the White Sox fan to see a sweep over the weekend against the Giants, and then you come home against the AL Central opponent that swept you in April, the team that's currently leading the AL Central, and you're currently now 0-5 against this team.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, Twins hit 5 home runs. White Sox hit 0. That's the difference. Like, that team and the home run hitters weren't home run hitters. Kirilloff hit his 2nd and 3rd of the year. That's not a thing. Polanco is a home run hitter from a couple years ago. But I'm just so frustrated. We see other teams come to Guarantee Great and say, okay, Michael Kopech's in the mound? Delicious. Let's eat. Home run, home run, home run. Just crushing balls. But the White Sox, yesterday it was Dylan Bundy. Today it's Josh Winder. These guys are no good. No, I mean, put it this way, they should be getting hit hard by the White Sox, and those balls should be traveling over the fence too, like the Minnesota Twins balls did. But no, White Sox don't come through when they need to. When base runners are on, they struggle. When balls are left up in the zone, they don't crush them. They don't punish them. They foul them off or they let them go. The Minnesota Twins are not that great. You saw them. They're not that great. But they did hit five home runs off of us. They punished the White Sox for making mistakes. I just want this team, which was promised to us, to start acting like it. And maybe it never will happen. Then heads need to roll. Somebody needs to leave. Not little soldiers like Frank Menachino and Howie Clark. And I got you, Nick. You're my mans. But big names like Tony La Russa should have been gone already. Rick Hahn, this is your team. They're a third-place team. Third place, 6.5 games behind the Minnesota Twins, July 5th. And then, yeah, tomorrow or Thursday. Man, getting Eloy back. It's like getting a big-time trade acquisition right now at the deadline every year. Same thing. And I think Jackie said this on Twitter, so I'll give credit to her, I believe, who said that. It's just the same shit every year. It's tiresome, frustrating. This team was promised to us that they were going to be better. It doesn't seem like they want it. And as Wayne says, Sean Herb, which team wants it more? I say the Twins. Yes, and the Twins prove it every time they come and play the White Sox. Every single time.
Well, and I don't think the White Sox damage mistakes, and this is part of the large problem. The White Sox are last in the MLB in walk rate. The White Sox really cannot do damage. They cannot identify pitches, identify mistakes, and take advantage of those mistakes. They are trying to just assume you're going to make a mistake. They're going to assume you're going to leave a fastball over the plate. They're going to assume you're leaving a slider over the plate, and that's what leads to weak contact. And, hey, sometimes it works. You had 9 hard hits against Winder today. You had 9 balls, 95 miles per hour or harder, but none of those have left the yard. And here's the Twins coming in here, and Michael Kopech probably made the same amount of mistakes as Winder, but Minnesota saw those mistakes cleaner. They saw those balls more. They saw more of Michael Kopech than the White Sox saw of Josh Winder. That's where this boils down to, is the White Sox really, truly cannot identify which pitches to take deep. It's not the weather anymore. It's not the balls. Both teams are playing with the same weather and same balls. It has to be the discipline. It has to be the pitch recognition. And I have no idea who's helping them. And I think that you need a wake-up call in some way to wake up these players. We've talked about it a little bit with Vinny and the idea that, you know, Frank Medichino is telling them everything that he has been telling them. And it's just to the players to listen and put that into their at-bats. I don't know if they're listening. I don't know if they're truly taking the advice that's around them from the coaching staff. Is the team truly listening to the coaching staff? If they are, maybe that's an issue with the coaching staff. If they're not, that's still an issue with the coaching staff. Is the message getting through? And it really feels like it's not. It's been the consistent performance of this White Sox team throughout 2022. You're going to see undisciplined hitters. You're going to see players not really recognizing pitches. And you're going to see a lack of walks. 2 walks tonight for the White Sox. It's just not going to win games, period.
And I saw Jesus Shuttlesworth talking about the Twins are a very good team. No, they're not. No, they're not. Their 47 wins and their, 47-37. And 47-37 with the 560 winning percentage would be it's the lowest winning percentage of any division leader currently. They just beat the White Sox 2 games. They're not that good. They're good. They're not great.
I mean,
not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Does Josh Winder do anything for you? No. Dylan Bundy is mediocre at best. And yes, the guy who's going to be pitching tomorrow, Joe Ryan, might be good. Young prospect, got him from last year from the Rays. Fine. But the White Sox are better than this. They should be better than this. Let's say that. So just because the Twins are winning now doesn't mean they're very good. They're not very good. That's why I'm mad. Because no, absolutely not. Alex Kirilloff. You telling me that's better? No, it's 3 home runs this year.
Right, and hey,
it's trash.
Our guy Paul Correxney in the message is getting through with TA and Vaughn apparently, and you could throw in Pizzo in that, but this is exactly what we've brought up with these players, is Jose Abreu came in as a fantastic Cuban baseball player. He was already a professional, a made professional. He didn't need the White Sox organization to take him to next levels because he was already a next level baseball player that just wasn't in Major League Baseball. Andrew Vaughn was drafted third, skipped Double A, and has just been hitting his whole life. That's what Andrew Vaughn does. I don't really think that there's any changes that Andrew Vaughn has made from a college hitter to the major leagues because of certain White Sox instruction. And finally, the other guy, Tim Anderson, we've talked about him. Yes, he's been in the White Sox organization for as long as he's been a Major League Baseball player, but we talked about the death of his friend and how that changed his view and how it changed his passion and how it changed his outlook on life. And Tim Anderson just said, hey, I'm going to be aggressive as hell at the plate, and that's worked for Tim Anderson. I really don't know what this team does developmentally for their players. And the one player you can look at is Luis Robert, who, hey, to his credit, had one of those walks today and had some of the best at-bats against Josh Winder. But it's about consistency. Can Luis do that from game in and game out? He hasn't been able to prove that. And no White Sox edict has been able to show, like, oh, Luis Robert's taking more pitches because of something that they're doing coaching him. It's really just been, if Luis wants to be patient, Luis will be patient. He was patient tonight, and he had good results. Mm-hmm. Can't really say that for the other White Sox hitters.
No. I mean, and it's once one guy's here, the other guys are not there. I mean, Timmy usually hits the ball to right field. Today, he was pull happy, just way too pull happy, way too aggressive. We hit into that ground the inning double play right there, whether White Sox were cooking or about to score some more runs. But, yeah, it's very sad to see him go on the fritz, not do well today. Andrew hit the ball hard mostly all day long. You get the good day from Luis Robert with the bat. Jose got a hit at the end of the game and a great catch when the game was 8-2. That's the mark of a champion. He doesn't care the game is 8-2 in the ninth inning in a meaningless – not a meaningless game, a game that's pretty much over. He's out there hustling, giving it his all, making a great over-the-shoulder catch. But, yeah, we get too few and far between. And today, everything didn't work. Kopech was bad. Hitting was bad. Execution was bad. White Sox deserve this loss. They're just a bad team.
Well, I honestly, at this point, that was kind of my whole point with this thing. And we were going to do the off-day show on Thursday. But looking at that San Francisco series and looking at that West Coast trip, like, you got some good results. You had the 11-run outburst versus the Angels. You saw what happened on Sunday where you had a 13-run outburst versus the Giants. I really liked the way that they clawed on Friday, and Leary Legend gave them the game-winning RBA on Friday to give them the 1-0 win. They won in many different ways against San Francisco, and that was really good to see. But also, San Francisco gave away a decent amount of those games with poor defense. So, you know, I really can't look at San Francisco and be like, great job. You beat up on a team that really gave it to you. You look at now, July 4th, that started 15 games against the AL Central in 14 days. I said it's throat-snopping time. We've talked about this. The division is in your grasp right now. It still might be in your grasp in August, but right now we can just surmise it by saying no one has hope in you. No one has faith in this team. This team has not given White Sox fans, White Sox media, any glimpse, any true glimpse to say, hey, this team is coming around. This team is in sync. Because you get three good games, good in quotations, against the Giants, and then you have this performance against the Twins. This team came into this series knowing that they were 0-3 versus the Twins. The Twins put up two runs in the first nine innings of yesterday's game. They didn't want it. If they wanted it, they would have shown more heart and more hustle. They tied the game up, which was great. But outside of a Jose Abreu home run, that offense looked lifeless. And hey, this offense still looks lifeless in these first two games. The White Sox aren't doing enough to help them out. The Twins saw 87 pitches in less than 5 innings from Michael Kopech. The White Sox, in 5 innings from Winder, saw 77. He was an easy, breezy, cool 77 pitches. Michael Kopech, who has better stuff, wasn't able to do that because, again, they're a better coach team. And that's what you saw today. You don't need elite stuff to beat the White Sox. The White Sox are no better than the Detroit Tigers and Kansas City Royals at this point. I said that with Josh Winder. You know, we saw this with Davis Martin. When Davis Martin's going up against bad teams, he can have good success because he can locate. Josh Winder today had good success because he can locate. It's just pathetic at this point. And the White Sox, if they're not going to change this and turn it around, I'm not going to try to tell you to have faith, you know, in this team. They have the worst or easiest schedule from here to the end of the year. That's absolutely true. But that's because they have to play Cleveland, and they have to play Minnesota, and they have to play Kansas City, and they have to play Detroit. Well, Minnesota and Cleveland also get to play those teams. There's nothing from these past two games that I can actually give you as hope.
And Detroit's coming in hot.
Yeah, Riley Green just turned that team around. They're 9-7 since Riley Green's got called up.
I think they scored 11 runs today. So, yeah, it's not a gimme this weekend, even though the White Sox have pounded on the Tigers this year. When do you actually – I know baseball is not the sport where you grind a little harder and you had the sawdust out of the bat and you're like, oh, I'm going to hit better. This is the Minnesota Twins. I mean, when does that happen? I don't know. But they get up for big pitchers. You could tell that. Like when Verlander was in the bump, they got up. Same thing with Robbie Ray. Same thing with Gausman. They got up. Martin Perez. This is a big series. Get up for it. They seem lifeless. Like, get hyped.
I mean, the only really two plays that I could say is them getting up for it. The TA, there was a couple close plays with TA at first base. I mean, I don't know. It was a tough watch today.
And you see all, like, they're hitting the ball, like, crack. That's in the air. And we're like, is that going to be caught? No, it's a home run. Like, there was never a chance tonight where you're like, oh, is the White Sox going to leave here? No, I think all the hits pretty much stayed on this side of the warning track. So, yeah, it's just a lifeless team, not attacking a guy who is just a mediocre pitcher. If you're a championship caliber team or supposed to be, you're supposed to crush a Josh Winder.
You're supposed to, and the White Sox haven't. And, hey, we got a special guest that's going to be joining us from Guaranteed Rate Field. But first off, the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO Locker. We have three new shirts in the CHGO Locker, and there's a new Vinny Duber article, so this is a fantastic time to take advantage of this promo code. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO Locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. PointsBet's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. If you see an edge in the game you're watching, and your favorite team is primed for a comeback, don't just watch the game. Bet along with it live. There's more live betting, more live markets, and faster live cash outs with the PointsBet app. So what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game by downloading the PointsBet app and using promo code CHGO when you sign up. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. And our next partner is, I can just tell you, the quarterback of the Bears drinks this, all right? I was moving my stuff, and I needed the power of Justin Fields, and I reached into my fridge, and the only cold drink I had was Owen. It's only what you need, and it's 100% plant-based protein shake that gives you nutrition that works as hard as you do. All their products are free of artificial ingredients, allergen-friendly, no gluten or dairy, and easily digestible. I had the pro-Owen shakes that come in vanilla and chocolate, and those have more protein, and I felt just really invigorated to move all the stuff out of my apartment, and it really gave me that energy that I needed. It's nice after a workout. It's nice whether you're in the gym or moving boxes in and out of your house. I first heard about it from Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who follows a plant-based diet, and now Owen and CHGO have partnered up to give you an awesome offer. You can get 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com with code CHGO20. Join me and Justin Fields and try Owen, only what you need, LiveOwen.com. Let's go out to Guaranteed Rate Field. And first off, before we get to the game, before we get to Vinny being the next Tom Skilling and knowing if they were going to continue this game after the rain delay, we have to congratulate you on it being Grateful Dead Night. Hey, hope you enjoyed Grateful Dead Night, Vinny.
Thank you, guys. Yes, it was Grateful Dead Night. It was not really advertised, to be honest. It kind of took me by surprise when I found out a few days ago that it was Grateful Dead Night coming up. But we got to hear Dead tunes all night long, so that was good. Had I remembered that when I left the house earlier today, I would be wearing a different T-shirt. But, a nice soundtrack to what was probably a terrible night for most Southsiders having to sit through that one.
Yeah, I guess you had a lot on your mind this weekend outside of the promotional nights for the White Sox, huh?
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. I was more so planning for Elvis night later in the summer. So yeah.
How was the festivities this weekend, and how are you feeling as a married man now? Congratulations from the CHGO White Sox family.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a fantastic day and night. You know, just a great time, as you can imagine. The tunes were phenomenal. The dancing was ample. I think I sweat through my shirt, you know, by the third song, and it only got more watery from there. But about 3.5 hours of nonstop musical fun there to go along with all the life-altering moments of the day as well.
I love seeing the Hawaiian shirt too. So you look good with the new haircut. You look all prim and proper, and you're really being your true self that day wearing the Hawaiian shirt. So it was happy to see you. So happy and excited for you guys. Best you know, in your future. But well, you know, we'll be talking to you probably tomorrow. So you know,
exactly. This is not goodbye. This is hello, isn't it?
Exactly. But congratulations to you too, you crazy kids.
Thank you,
and,
guys.
You know, best of luck to you guys in your life. But let's talk about the White Sox. 8-2 loss today. Let's start off with Eloy Jimenez, because he was seen in the clubhouse, and we now hear that it might be tomorrow, it might be Thursday for an Eloy return, right?
Yeah, next couple days. Tony was asked again tonight because he, you know, they had to put him through the workout and you know, get the White Sox training staff's eyes on him up here on the south side before, you know, figuring out exactly when to bring him back. But sounds like it'll be tomorrow, and if it's not tomorrow, it'll be the day after that. So get ready for more Eloy, which is only a good thing, because as you saw tonight, the White Sox continue to have trouble scoring runs, continue to have trouble hitting balls over the fence. A lot of hits tonight. You know, the Twins only won the hit battle there 12-10. But with all the hits that they had that left the yard, it was a much more lopsided situation in the run department. The White Sox are in the bottom 10 in the league in runs. They're in the bottom 4 in the league in home runs. Really the same old story through the first what is now 3+ months of this season for this White Sox team. The offense is nowhere to be found.
Seen this from Michael Kopech, where he struggles in the first inning, eventually finds his form, and then pitches well. Today was the first inning again, struggled, but got through with no runs. But then 4 home runs later, Michael Kopech's leaving the game early. What do you have to say about his outing tonight?
He said it was bad. You know, I mean, he said it has to be better. It can't be the like this, obviously. I think everybody would agree with him. You know, Tony La Russa was very, you know, basically didn't have anything to say about Michael Kopech's night. Said that Ethan Katz identified some issues in the dugout and that he didn't really want to get into it. So maybe that's the issues that Michael Kopech had tonight were something that opposing teams maybe could latch on to. Maybe that's what the Twins did tonight. But certainly Michael Kopech's sake, he just said he didn't execute. He didn't throw. He threw too many bad pitches. And, you know, listen, I know I started off talking about the offense, the fact that they only scored 2 runs and didn't hit any homers. You know, that's made glaringly obvious, the White Sox deficiencies in that department. When the Twins come in here and hit 5 of them in one night, the White Sox only have 4 in their last 14 games, for crying out loud. But really, you know how we always say, when a pitcher does an okay job, but, you know, they still lose, it's like, well, what are you going to do when the team only get, you know, scores 1 or 2 runs for you? Tonight, it's kind of the opposite, right? Sure, you can harp on the White Sox bats all you want, and deservingly so for some of their problems, but when their starting pitcher gives up 4 home runs, you're not going to win, right? You're just not going to do it. So, you know, the problems that the White Sox have had, hard to mask when things are going wrong in basically every department. For the most part, the starting pitching has been fine this year. Tonight, it very much was not. And even a game where the White Sox, you know, would have shown some muscle with the bats, probably not going to win that game given how the pitching was tonight.
Right, yeah. I mean, my big complaint about yesterday was exactly what you were saying. You know, you get good 6 innings from Johnny Cueto and the bats do nothing for the first 9 innings. And today, you know, really wasn't that. Just rough start from Kopech, missing a couple spots. And hey, you mentioned all the stuff that they're bad at. They're now bottom, completely, you know, 30th in the league in walks. Detroit had 5 tonight. The White Sox had 2. So now the White Sox are dead last in walks. Any thoughts from the clubhouse on, you know, plate discipline or drawing more walks? I know this has been something we've been talking about for 3.5 months now, but again, another night with 2 walks, and it's against a guy that, you know, really didn't even know he was starting until Chris Archer was scratched earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I hate to sound like a broken record because I want all my records to work, obviously. But I think the thing here is what we've been saying. I think a lot of people are looking at a night when the offense doesn't have a lot of success. And I mean, guys, they had 10 hits. We shouldn't be, you know, crushing them necessarily like they have deserved it on so many nights already this season. But I guess the point being that, you know, just because they score two runs is not a sign that their approach was bad. Sometimes it's that they can't figure out the opposing pitcher. Yeah, maybe they certainly should with the lineup that they have, but sometimes they just don't. And that's the situation there. I think it was Tony La Russa talking today about general team. You know, we always kind of have that discussion of, you know, and Herb, I heard you talking about it when I joined on here, you know, calling them lifeless and stuff like that. Lifeless from a results standpoint, certainly. But that doesn't necessarily mean that what's going on between their ears is wrong, or what's going on, you know, anywhere else intangibly is off. And Tony La Russa spoke to that and said, sometimes when you see a team go up there and do like what they did tonight, the fans can look at it and say, oh, they don't care. You know, they're at it, their heart's not in it or something like that. And sometimes it's just that the pitcher's good and they can't hit the pitcher because the pitcher's doing well against them. And sometimes, he said, that is the case, and they're not having good at bats, and they need to be talked to. But it's not so black and white as just what the results say means what was going on. So, but you're right; the results were really bad, you know, and have been really bad throughout the majority of the season for them offensively. Is it that the whole team needs somebody to come and scream in their ear that they need to start taking pitches? Maybe. Or maybe they're just not hitting right now, and that's you know, amplifying the fact that they don't take walks. Maybe they were going to be a team that didn't draw a lot of walks to begin with, but they were supposed to hit a lot of home runs, and they were supposed to get a lot of hits and score a lot of runs, and so that would have been, you know, covered up. It's hard to say because everything has been so poor for the most part, with the exception of a few players. Certainly not having Yasmani Grandal for so long, not having Yoan Moncada for so long. These are two guys that the brunt of the walking falls on for this lineup, and they've missed an awful lot of games. Jose Abreu's walks are way up this year, right? I mean, but it's still nowhere near enough because he's probably the only guy doing it.
Right, yeah, it's shocking just to see them go from fourth last year in walks to now, you know, dead last. Also, 41st loss, so they're halfway to a losing season this year. I do think, too, I love the episode you guys did on Thursday. You were there, and then Adam Hoge filled in for me, and then we had special guest Zach Hayes on while Herb was flying out to San Francisco. You guys had a little bit of a discussion about this team having fun and how that might be missing. I guess that's what fans are seeing, and that's why they say this team is lifeless, especially compared to last year. And you guys kept saying, hey, winning is fun is winning, the old Ozzie Guillen quote. And you try to figure out where that fun's going to come from, but like, I'm just like, is there an intensity there to find that, or is it just kind of, hey, when it happens, it happens? How would you describe that in the clubhouse?
Well, I'll say this. There's no doubt that, and Yasmani Grandal said it today. You know, he said, we've got to get back to being us. You know what I mean? Josh Harrison has told me before, it's not that the team is not having fun, but they need to have more of it. You know what I mean? It's like, the idea is not that this team is vastly different in terms of the clubhouse culture. I think it's looked very much the same for the most part. Aloy Jimenez showed up today, and it was, you know, joke city in that corner of the clubhouse with him and Luis Robert and Jose Abreu. It is not that these personalities do not mesh. It is not that these guys are somehow being held back. They are the same players that they've always been, but they're not winning. And when you struggle at your job, when you struggle at the thing that you come to do every day, when you're not getting the results that you're looking for, that's understandably frustrating. And even if they're not frustrated when they show up, they're frustrated when they leave at the end of the day. They're bummed. You know what I mean? It is not that. It is very much chicken or the egg, I think, really, because I think that this team has plenty of fun, but then when they lose, the fun gets sucked out, right? I mean, like, that's just what happens. And the next day, they're fine, but then the results happen because there's been too much losing this year for them. If they start winning, if they go on an 8-game winning streak all of a sudden, you're going to see that team. There's no doubt in my mind that you're going to see that team. It's just that there has been no consistency in winning this year, with that very exception of that very short 6-game winning streak they had there earlier in the year. But there just hasn't been enough winning. And I think a lot of people that make the same complaint that, you know, they're not seeing the fun. I think you'd get a lot of people complaining that if they were seeing it and they were losing, like, how can you be taken losing this way or something like that? That's just a guess. I'm sure it doesn't apply to a majority of people, but there are some who out there who probably would make such a comment. I think that it's very understandable why fans would jump to that conclusion. I don't think it is the truth, but at the same time, it's that to a degree, right? Like, they do not have a fun problem. They'd like to have more fun. They'd like to have more wins.
Right. And I think, to your point right there, the White Sox currently are the only team in the major leagues who have a losing record at home and a winning record on the road. So whatever they're doing on the road, I mean, the results are good. I don't know if it's necessarily conducive to victories. I know they probably haven't spoke about why they struggle at home, but is there anybody talking about, like, the atmosphere at home, like, why it's different at home versus road?
I mean, I know, you know, in recent homestands, you know, not today, but I know in recent homestands, Tony's been asked about it and some guys have been asked about it. And it basically comes down to, it's just a baseball-y fluke kind of thing. You know what I mean? I think, I think they all are very complimentary of the atmosphere that they have at home, you know, the games, the fans that show up, they are all always complimentary of the energy that the fans bring to the game. And it's not that they, I think, are running into a roadblock because they are at home. I think it is a fluke of the schedule, or, you know, a fluke of the way they're playing this year. But that's the point, right? I mean, they've played poorly this season. So they're not doing what they should do in so many facets. And because of that, it's leading to them not doing what they should do, winning games and winning games at home.
You mentioned our guy Yasmani Grandal. I heard that he was taking BP and running the bases out in San Francisco. Talk to you today. Any updates on Yaz and where he might be in his rehab?
Yeah, he's going to Birmingham tomorrow to start a rehab assignment. That will be strictly as a DH through the weekend, and then he will move to Charlotte, where the team's catching coordinator is, and he will work with that staff down there to start catching and start being able to take care of things there. The goal is that he is back for the start of the second half, and so that gives him plenty of time to work back. Apparently things have been going a little better lately for him from a physical standpoint. Sounded like a kind of a scary injury, guys. Pinched nerve in the back that kind of got rid of feeling in his left leg. He said that the doctors asked him if he could use his muscles in his left leg, and he was surprised by the question. But apparently this injury sometimes, or this kind of pinched nerve or whatever, comes with that. You're not being able to use your left leg. That sounded kind of shocking to me from a person who likes to use his left leg. But you know, the,
specifically, your left leg.
Right, specifically, yeah, the right one, who cares? But I think the idea is that this could have been worse, and this could have been a lot scarier, something that might have required another surgery, he even said. So the fact that he's able to come back as quickly as he has, I think he's looking as a positive. There's no doubt that he's itching to get back. He said he would have liked to be back a lot sooner than the start of the second half, but Tony La Russa said it's not something that the White Sox want to fast play. And rush along too much. They need him. There's no doubt about it. I mean, listen, you mentioned the stats earlier, right? Where they rank in walks, where they rank in home runs. This is a guy who walks and hit home runs when he's hitting well. It wasn't working for him earlier in the season. But right now, he's feeling better, and he's going to give it a try. You guys remember how good he was for them when he came back from that injury last year. It'd be nice to see something like that if you're the White Sox, because they need a charge through this lineup. Perhaps Eloy Jimenez, perhaps Yasmani Grandal can provide that here in the coming weeks.
And with Eloy coming back either tomorrow or Thursday, somebody has to be sent down. We're just wondering ourselves, it's probably, since he doesn't play that much, and he pretty much had passed over by Yoan Moncada, it's going to be Jake Berger. Any word or any thoughts you have, who's going to have to be sent down tomorrow when Eloy does return, or Thursday?
Yeah, it would kind of seem that way, right? And I think we've seen from the playing time over the last week or so that might be the case. Tony La Russa was asked about Jake Berger's playing time pregame and basically said he felt bad about it, that he kind of became the odd man out. not necessarily because of anything he's done from a production standpoint, but because, like you said, they want to get Yoan Moncada the reps at third base. They want to make sure that he's getting as many at bats as he can to kind of turn things around. Had the RBI double tonight, did Moncada. They're not going to win the World Series or make the playoffs or win the division or any of that without Yoan Moncada doing well. So they need to get him right. Jake Berger's has been good in limited action, no doubt about it. But, you know, Tony La Russa said that he's not playing very often, and that's not what you want to do. So, you know, perhaps regular playing time down at Charlotte for Jake Berger at this juncture is better than having him kind of sit here on the bench and get sporadic playing time in the majors.
The only other question I think I have for you is going to be about Aaron Bummer. Any update on him? Just because the White Sox only have Tanner Banks as their only lefty in the bullpen right now, and Aaron Bummer just hasn't been seen in a while. I think the last update was in June on Bummer. So any idea where Bummer's at in his process of returning?
Nothing since that last update. I would imagine it will become more of a focus once they get the bigger name guys back, right? I mean, once we're not asking, you know, every so often about Aloy's status or about Grandal's status, maybe Bummer becomes a bigger focal point. We'll put it that way in terms of injury updates. There's been so many of them this year, injury updates, that you know, they've been focusing on the guys who can come in and try to solve some of the problems they got. Undoubtedly, the bullpen, and certainly in the late innings after last night, has been a focus as well. So Bummer is definitely going to be needed by the White Sox here coming up. But yeah, that last update is probably the most recent one that there's been, unless there was something during the road trip, and that was basically that it's going to be out a little while longer. That there's really no date coming in terms of his return.
All right, we got Tarik Skubal on the mound on Friday, and I'm excited that this is the only Friday game that we were probably
but
doing this.
Vinny won't
month.
Be there.
All right.
I'm sad.
So
Tarik, we'll say it enough for you.
Yeah,
Vinny.
You'll be in
I
our
was,
hearts.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can say it as many times as we want.
Oh, definitely.
we'll talk to you later, and we'll hopefully tomorrow's game isn't delayed or postponed at all, and we have a nice, easy, clean 9 innings tomorrow.
Win.
What?
I'm asking for the win.
And a win. Oh, yeah, that was the
a
other
slow
question.
Win too.
This team's now 0-5 against the team that's first Jesus. Place in the AL Central. Did they comment on, like, kind of the intensity or needing some intensity? Because I know Rick Hahn kind of brushed it off before when being asked about teams above 500. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's a sample size. You know, teams are so different each and every time you play them, whether it be in May or April or June. This is an AL Central opponent, and now you're 0-5, and this is the team you're looking up at catching the AL Central. Have they talked about maybe the frustration of not being able to beat this team yet?
There is no frustration from them other than they would prefer to win, obviously. But certainly the guys have been asked about it, and I think you saw the quotes yesterday from guys like Liam Hendricks and others calling this a very crucial stretch, crunch time, you know, this whole string of 19 games against division opponents, many of those against teams that are ahead of them in the standings. I don't think that, you know, Josh Harrison was asked about it after the game and said, you know, the cliche, we don't care about who's on the other side of the field. We've got to play, you know, every single day, take it one day at a time kind of thing. It's cliche. It's also true. They do need to beat everybody. They can't just, you know, pick and choose who they're going to get up for. They need to play every single opponent like they need to win, because guess what? They do. I think what it speaks to, though, you know, whether the Twins are going to be a different team way back when they played them, you know, that weekend Aloy went down, or whether they play them now, or whether they play them in September, which they do all of those things, you know, the Twins are winning. That's the bottom line here. I mean, it sounds so, you know, I think I wrote it in my story today, you know, yeah, all of this sounds very no shit, Sherlock, right? But at the same time, this is it. You got to win games if you're going to win the division. You got to win games if you're going to make the playoffs. The surefire way for the Twins to hold off the White Sox in the AL Central race over the next 3 months, beat the White Sox. The surefire way for the White Sox to try to catch the Twins in the AL Central race over the next 3 months, beat the Twins. One of those teams is getting that done. The other team hasn't so far. It has a chance to change around tomorrow, but so far it's been Minnesota all the way, showing that they're the dominant force in this little rivalry right now.
One of the guys you just mentioned right there, 1,000 hits for Josh Harrison, and got to pitch a scoreless frame. What do you talk about after the game? Did he celebrate because 1,000 hits is not like 3,000, but it's a nice mark, a nice milestone for himself to hit 1,000 hits in the show.
Yeah, he was grateful. He was happy. You know what I mean? Obviously, it's about longevity, and it's about showing that you can do your job over the long period of time. And that's the kind of thing he was happy about. Not surprising hearing him talk, you know, about, you know, just kind of showing up and doing your work every day. You know, it's not surprising to hear him kind of react this way to it. Tony La Russa had a funny line that he's probably the only guy who's ever closed out the ninth inning with 1,000 hits. You know, I'm sure they would rather not have had him pitch tonight, but so it was. You know, good for Josh Harrison. Very. I think everybody was very happy for him. Really, every teammate that walked by him was congratulating him there in the clubhouse. So, one of the bright spots this evening was him being able to reach that milestone, and he got a nice ovation from the fans when he did so as well, which is nice to see, considering we're about only a month removed from everybody wanting him DFA'd, and here he is since Memorial Day hitting well over 300. So a nice little story here is Josh Harrison, but certainly he would prefer probably for the White Sox to start getting back on track rather than you know, having the one good thing that he talks about all year being a personal milestone.
Absolutely. And hey, Steve Stone keeps mentioning it. The White Sox have the best ninth hitting spot in the majors, and Josh Harrison has been contributing to that since June.
Three hits for nine hitter Reese McGuire tonight. How about that?
Right. He smoked a couple of them too.
There is something about that nine spot.
There's something about the bottom of the lineup that usually works, and the top of the lineup usually has some struggles. But that's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He's joining us from Guaranteed Rate Field. Check out his new article, the latest article, at allchgo.com. After White Sox latest base running blunder, is Full Help enough to spark the turnaround? Well, Eloy Jimenez is coming. Yasmani Grandal is on his way. We will see if the White Sox can turn it around and get their first win against the Minnesota Twins tomorrow. Vinny, we appreciate your time, and again, congratulations on the weekend.
Thanks, guys, so much. Appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
See you, Uncle Sam. You can follow Vinny Duber on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. He's CHGO White Sox beat writer. That's the Grateful Dead thing. Grateful Dead guy that they were giving away the bobblehead, and Vinny was all...
That's up there for me.
Oh, yeah. Vinny knew it.
Went to Haight-Ashbury, and I saw a bunch of shirts like that. Tie-dye shirts, yeah.
Hey, I saw this
shirt. They're like $80, though.
Oh, yeah, but I got this one for $24.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get these replicas. So, you know, the real ones, you know, the ones with some age on them, they'll go for a pretty penny. But, yeah, the replica ones, you know, those are $25 hot off the presses.
Yeah, I was going to bring some back to you guys, and I was like, $80.
Oof.
I don't like y'all that much.
Yeah, no. That would
I spend $80 on myself.
That'd be a competitive edge to my wardrobe, you know, and Strava is a game changer and gives you a competitive edge. It is fantastic and has helped thousands of people to help improve their overall wellness and quality of life. Strava delivers delicious, fresh-roasted specialty coffee infused with organic, broad-spectrum CBD. CBD from hemp doesn't make you high or hungry, but it does offer real benefits that can help you. It can help you feel alert and focused without the jitters. It can help you live your day more balanced with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains. Plus, including CBD in your daily routine can even help you enjoy a more restful sleep so you wake up feeling your best. The best part, Strava is all about quality. Everything is small batch, fresh, and shipped straight to your door. Strava also offers concentrated full-spectrum CBD tinctures for those looking for a more traditional CBD format with a powerful entourage effects of benefits. I love Strava CBD coffee. I take the uncaffeinated Strava CBD coffee with the max CBD strength, and it helps me with my restless leg syndromes as I try to go to bed at night. My legs really calm down. My body calms down. They know it's time to go to bed, and I think you, the CHGO listener, should take advantage of this offer. You could save 25% off your entire purchase when you use code CHGO25. That's 25% off your entire order at StravaCraftCoffee.com. When you use code CHGO25 at checkout, discount coupon valid on non-subscription purchases only, one use per customer. Again, CHGO25, that's 25% off your entire order at Strava, Strava, craftcoffee.com. I really enjoy the stuff. It is fantastic. It's a game changer in my life, and I would definitely urge you, if you're having some sleep troubles, if you're having some anxiety troubles, maybe swap off your regular coffee for some CBD coffee. It's helped me. So I just want to give a shout out to
Dave Barista. I did not have any of the glitter LSD.
Oh, yeah. Why? No one offered it to you? Or?
No one offered me. It's ridiculous, guys. Come on.
Right. Well, I can't.
Give me some glitter LSD next time. But I went to the the dispensary there right downtown San Francisco. They have a bunch of them. And got some deliciousness for, like, a quarter of the price that they have it here in Illinois.
There you go.
It's like, that's another reason why California is the best state in our union, friends. Our guy Dan Payton already knows about it. Some of you guys have visited the great state of California. Enjoy yourself. It's the good times out there.
It's the best state, state in the union. If you want to pay $5,000 a month in rent,
yes.
If you want to be broke when you're dead, go live in California.
I mean, your money goes somewhere.
Does it?
It does. All the beauty out there, man. Yeah. I lived out there for a year. I didn't feel like broke, but I felt, you know, it was a little struggling going on out there from Chicago, but I would do it again.
Yeah, it's
'cause it's just so beautiful out there.
I've never been.
Diego than San Francisco. San Francisco's dumb expensive. San Diego's expensive, but not dumb like that.
All right,
that.
Maybe I'll try San Diego. I heard San Francisco's a nightmare, though.
Yeah,
Herb, you want some good news?
Yes.
I don't know if this is actually good news, but this is from Chi-Town Fanboy, and I've been waiting for the day, but it's finally happened. The Tigers are 12 games back of the Minnesota Twins. Mm-hmm. The White Sox are 6.5 games back of the Minnesota Twins. This is the first time, and I think a long time, that the White Sox are now closer to the Tigers in the standings than they are the Twins. Herb Lawrence, your comments.
Piss poor. That is really bad. The White Sox are underperforming. They are failing this year. And we just talked about Josh Harrison. I expect, if this continues, for him to be on another team. Not because of him, just because he could be used somewhere else. And you can acquire some more talent, because apparently that's what the White Sox need after a fucking five-plus year rebuild. We need more talent? What the hell? Like, I thought we were here, but this is just trash now. This team is trash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they need to do. And I was talking to you and Vinny during that segment. They have a better record on the road than they do at home. I don't know. Maybe they need to start doing the things they do on the road like they at home. Wear road grays. I don't care. Sleep in hotels that night before. Get bussed in. Whatever needs to be done, because you're playing poorly in front of your home fans way too often. You hit much better on the road. You're a better team on the road. That doesn't make sense. Like I said, they are the only team with a losing record at home and a winning record on the road. There's something. Something's happening there, where they come home and they feel a certain way and they don't play the way they play on the road. Maybe it's the chemistry they get on playing on the road. They know that they're the only people out there they can depend on. They probably go out with each other on the road, chill, have a good time. We saw a picture of Dylan Cease and,
help me out. Starting pitcher?
Pitching coach.
Katz.
Ethan Katz. They were at Fishman's Wharf on their day off on Thursday, chilling, enjoying time with each other. Maybe they need to start doing some of those things at home, because that's the only thing I can come up with.
Because mm-hmm.
they're 22-18 on the road and 16-23, I think, at home.
Yeah,
that shouldn't happen.
No, and I mean, too, I mean, I think we need to get Jay, Mario, Greg, one of the CHGO Blackhawk guys in here, because your guy K-Fids responding to his guy Zoe. Okay. But Zoe mentioned that the Blackhawks had these issues, and they actually did stay in hotels and kind of fixed their issue. So maybe that's it. I think it's just weird, quirky baseball stuff, and I don't know. I mean, maybe if you sign Kyle Schwarber, you'd be in a better spot. I mean,
he's got 25 home runs.
He's got 25 home runs. That's 15 more. I mean, his difference, 15 home runs between the White Sox leader and his, is literally 5 more home runs than the White Sox leader. Jose Abreu has 10. Kyle Schwarber has 25. I'm the math guy here on the CHGO White Sox podcast. 25 minus 10, that's 15. That's more than Jose Abreu has. I mean, thank you. He's better defensively than Gavin Sheets in right field. He's better than Andrew Vaughn out in left field. He's better than AJ Pollock, just in general. This is, again, another spot where it's not just the players, because the players are the one having bad at-bats each and every night. It's not on Tony, who's had his bad moments.
Yes.
It's not on Joe McEwing. It's not just on Darryl Boston, who've had their bad moments. It's on Rakan as well, who's had his bad moments. I mean, you look at the bullpen, and you see that 0-0 game, and you see Tanner Banks being used in the eighth inning. You see four guys on the 40-man roster just sucking up space when Zach Muckenhern down in Charlotte could be on the 40-man roster because he's a better player than the other four guys that are currently on Charlotte in the 40-man roster. This team is a mess. This team needs to start winning to cover up all the ugliness around them. And right now, you have 5 wins separating you and the Detroit Tigers from one another. And it's just pathetic to watch. And you brought up the Twins being the worst division leader, and it's basically true. I mean, the only teams that are in that same ballpark are the Brewers, who are 47-36 leading the Central, and the Cardinals, who are 44-39 in second place. You know, the Twins have the lowest second lowest run differential of any leader at +53. The Brewers are at +35, but even the second place Cardinals +56. So, I mean, this is the worst division in baseball, and the White Sox are failing in it, and they've been overrated. I mean, it's just, this team has enough talent, and they're being beat by Josh Winder, Jarrell Cotton, Dylan Bundy, like Brady Singer, Daniel Lynch. Run out all the bums that have beaten the Chicago White Sox. Because if you have a slider and you can control your fastball, you will beat the Chicago White Sox. And now you're in a spot where you're 0-2 in this series at home against the leading Minnesota Twins, a team that you're 0-5 against this entire year, and now they have their ace coming to the bump. How much confidence does this team have? They just whooped your ass. You gave them one game on Monday. That game shouldn't have been close. Here we are on Wednesday looking down the barrel of starting 0-6 versus the Twins, and it's sad. It's pathetic. That's all that we've seen.
And losing that game, you'll be 7.5 games out. I'm sure the Tigers are going to do some damage, and then they're coming in this weekend, mm-hmm. Thursday through Sunday, the Tigers, team that we've dominated, hot as shit, playing better since they got their rookie of the year prospect back, Riley Green. Who's doing the job?
And they arguably
Can we beat them?
And they arguably have their best pitching coming up this weekend.
Yeah, can we beat them? Like, it's just so frustrating that they haven't taken the necessary steps to, you know, solidify the team that was last year, 2021 team, where we were in the playoffs and we had glaring issues. And Rick Hahn did not fix any of those things. And now we're still here. Looking at other players and saying, man, that would be nice to have Kyle Schwarber at a nice, decent price to play for the White Sox. We've had multiple times try to get Kyle Schwarber. We could have had Kyle Schwarber. It was only $8 million the Cubs let him go a couple years ago. Could have had him then. Could have had Jock Peterson another time.
He needed to go to Washington first to get fixed by Kevin Long, and then the White Sox should have signed him because then they wouldn't actually have to coach him. You know, he would have just been a finished product.
Yeah, so, like, these problems persist because the top down, like the owner is whatever he is. He's himself. He hired the manager, so he fucked up there. But the general manager has to, okay, you fucked me there, but let me go to work. Let me do some things. You're giving me this much money? Cool. Let me not spend it mostly on the bullpen. Let me find a bat. A guy who can hit the ball over the fence, maybe, from the left side, not depend on Gavin Sheets. Maybe? Just maybe?
Maybe.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's not like Kyle Schwarber walks or anything. That guy would have been horrible to add.
And I'm sure somebody threw, he's in 216! Shut up.
So does Byron Buxton.
Please shut up.
Byron Buxton hits 226.
Exactly.
He's the best player on the field.
Yeah, the average, don't ever come to me with average.
It doesn't matter. If he's slugging 600, like, that, the other stats matter. It's brutal. And an 8-2 to loss tonight. We really didn't talk too much about the game and what happened just because they got their butts whooped. Let's look at the starting pitching lines. Michael Kopech, 4 2/3 today, oof. 6 earned runs, 8 hits allowed, 4 walks, 5 Ks. Josh Winder, 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 7 oof. Hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Exactly. I mean, Josh Winder just going out there, throwing out bum stuff, and Michael Kopech. Got lit up. And part of this, too, we'll go to the pitches that Kopech got taken deep on. Part of it was just location. You could see two sliders hung. They were basically in the middle of the zone. They weren't low enough. They were basically at the belt for major league hitters. Those balls got destroyed. And the other two fastballs up in the zone, but the issue is they weren't up enough. They weren't in enough, and the velocity wasn't there again for Michael Kopech since coming off the injury against Texas. 4 starts for Michael Kopech, and he has not had a single game in that outing or in those outings where his fastball has been at the yearly average for the miles per hour. So I don't know if that's him now eclipsing the innings pitch that he had last year or if that has to deal with the injury that he suffered against Texas. But he has not been the same pitcher since that injury, and that has shown. And I don't know if I'm concerned about Kopech. I still think that he can have a good outing. I still think that he can be good. You still saw some bad swings, even on the fastball. They put 9 fastballs in play. The average exit velocity on those was 92 miles per hour, so it wasn't like he was getting turned around a ton. He still looked effective, but he needs that slider. He needs that curveball. He threw out a changeup at one point to Arise as well. He needs to find more consistency in those secondary pitches, and he just hasn't been able to yet.
I know they're not going to do it because it's so quick of a turnaround. He's going to be pitching on Sunday. But I would say skip a turn. Skip a start for him.
Hey, call up Davis Martin.
Get somebody else up here.
It's the Tigers.
Maybe he just needs, hey, I'll skip the start on Sunday. I'll skip the start right before the All-Star game and have that whole All-Star break just to get better. Just to regain some of the velocity on his fastball, gain some of the arc back on a slider, and get the confidence back because he's getting hit hard. He was walking the yard today. Also, in the first inning, walked 3 guys, luckily got out of it himself, but 28 pitches. We usually see this from Michael Kopech early in the game where he struggles, and then he rights himself, and he's like, okay, I got it now. I got my release point on the curve. I got the release point on the slider. The fastball's going as such. I'm hitting 98. But maybe he needs just some time off, some time to chill out, get his arm reactivated to where it needs to be. Because remember, this year we were like, how many pitches, how many innings going to throw? 150, right. 125? We don't know. This is his first full year of being a starting pitcher for any team. And so they need to take it start by start, especially since you said the knee problem, we don't know how it's affecting him, but it's affecting him somehow because he's getting hit hard and he's not as pinpoint as he used to be.
Well, and one thing, too, Jesus said this just a scroll up there. Kopech's problem was not throwing enough strikes. This has been a problem for the Sox starters recently. He had a 71% strike percentage today. So, I mean, that was his issue in the start of the game. I think he had 28 pitches, 13 of them were for strikes. Yeah. That's not a good ratio, but he ended up fixing it. Let's go to his pitch mix here. Called strikes plus whiff percentage for Kopech tonight, 34%, which is above the major league average of 27%. So that's good. The fastball was good. I think it would have been great, and you would have seen more whiffs, 4 whiffs on 21 swings. That's 19%. You would have seen more whiffs if the fastball was just faster, and it just wasn't today. It didn't have that extra life, but it did have a lot more movement, had more vertical movement, which helped it kind of give that rising effect, so that's good, and had a little bit more tail than the average Kopech fastball or Kopech outing. So the fastball is still effective, but he needs to find more on that slider. He needs to find more on that curveball, find more comfortability, find the zone more often, and Kopech will be in a fine spot, even if the fastball velocity doesn't come back. Steven, we got any more graphics? I think we're done, right?
We got the Pollock thing.
Oh, yeah.
Strike.
Did you like the ump tonight?
He was consistently inconsistent. Like, he called a first pitch strike, I believe, versus Tim Anderson that was at least probably like 6-7 inches off the plate, elevated. And I was like, if you're going to call that, cool. Make sure you do it all game. And he called that later against Tim. That ball was a little bit more inside and high, but Tim didn't seem too pissed about it. Me and you and everybody who was watching at the time, which was very few and far between, were apoplectic about the A.J. Pollock at-bat. He called a pitch a foot off the inside zone.
Yeah.
Look at that pitch. If you're watching on YouTube, look at that pitch. He called that a strike. And A.J. Pollock, to get in your face and MF you, takes a lot.
So, yeah.
A lot.
If you're not able to watch, you could see on the screen there, or, I mean, obviously I'm saying if you can't watch, there's a box, and there's a lot of space, and then there's a little green dot, and that's why A.J. Pollock just got thrown out of his third game in his major league career.
And the first time since 2018?
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
It's that's what happens when you delay the game, you make bad calls, and veterans are cranky. You're going to get yelled at.
And I don't want anybody here to say, oh, they're blaming my umps. No, we just got to point out dumb shit when we see it. That's bad. I know the ump wanted to go home, probably had some dinner reservations late night, going to get some Sarpino's, something like that. It's open till 4, ump. Wait up. 4 o'clock. Get some Sarpino's still. But that was not professional, and AJ getting in his face was warranted, and I hope the ump goes back and looks at that particular call, comes back out tomorrow, finds AJ and say, hey, man, I missed that call. Just like you saw Jim Joyce do with Galarraga after the no-hit or the perfect game he messed up. Not to the same effect, but a little mea culpa so you can go far. You know you're humans. You know that sometimes you make errors and you say, hey, AJ, you were right. I was wrong. I apologize. Something like that.
Right. If that's Gavin Sheets, I mean, no, you're not going to do that. But Josh Harrison, a guy who just got his 1,000th career hit today, a guy who's surpassed 10 years of service time, AJ Pollock, same thing. You got to give respect to those guys because he got absolutely hosed on that, and that's going to hurt AJ Pollock's ability to make money probably. You know, that's another strikeout on the ledger when there shouldn't have been. But that's going to do it for today's CHGO White Sox postgame show. The White Sox lose 8-2, and we're all sorts of annoyed by it, and I think all White Sox fans should be too. This is the start of the season, and now they're 0-2.
And I think, and I know the comments are all about it. They're all done. Paul Correct's been done. But that's like the realization that your team is not going to get the job done is starting to hit me hard.
Yeah.
And it's starting, you know, because you see that weekend you had in San Francisco. You're like, okay, here we go. 4.5 games back behind Minnesota. Take one. You're smooth. You're only 5.5 games, which they could still do. You're not out of it. They get swept tomorrow. It's 7.5 games, and it's tough. It's tough sledding because that Tigers team is no joke now. So the gimmies, like we're looking at that Tigers series, like 3 out of 4, easy. Let's go. It will be that if we lose this game tomorrow, we will have to win 3 out of 4
right.
versus the Tigers just to sustain and be above level.
I mean,
above ground.
The White Sox right now are 0-2 in a 15-game stretch. I said the most comfortable I'd feel with them is 8-7. So you got a lot of ground to make up here.
Yeah, I mean, we're not asking them to win all the games. Just go .500.
Right.
And especially versus the Twins, win more than you lose.
And now to reach that 8-7 mark, what, 13 games left? You already got 2, so you got 5 losses. You got to go 8-5. I don't know if this White Sox team could do it.
That's why you're the math guy.
Yeah, they can go like 10-7. You know, I don't see them going 8-5. I don't have enough faith in them to even do that.
And if they go
bad, stretch.
You trade people. Trade Johnny Cueto away.
Trade AJ Pollock.
Trade
any bullpen piece.
Trade Josh Harrison. Just trade him away. Like, and try to retool on the fly like the Yankees did that one year. Because it's foolish to think that you're going to get a wild card. You're not. Your best option is to go through the AL Central. As I said, they're the worst division in the league. So you get beat tomorrow by the Twins and then go up to Minnesota and get beat by them too, think about retooling. Think about just getting rid of some players that has some value. Get the farm system a little bit better than it is right now.
It's still not a good AL Central, and that's what I think will keep them in and keep them interested in buying. But I agree with you that you could still be competitive with this team, even if you sell off AJ Pollock and Johnny Cueto. If they're at a point where they're 5 games below .500 on August 2nd, you should make those deals. And then, hey, if Tim Anderson, Andrew Vaughn, Jose Abreu, Yasmani Grandal,
somebody's calling for them. It sounds good.
Well, no, but if they start hitting after August 2nd, oh well. I mean, hey, maybe you still end up winning the AL Central, but you got to find some value on this team. You have to at least add something to this team. And, you know, AJ Pollock, Cueto, with their age, get rid of them.
Do you have any untouchables? Somebody comes to you with a real deal. Would you like, no?
Yeah, I would say Andrew Vaughn is untouchable. Okay. I would say Jose Abreu is untouchable. And I would say Tim Anderson's untouchable. Okay. Outside of that, I would not, I guess, Luis Robert. But honestly, whatever.
Dylan Cease?
Yeah.
He's untouchable for me.
Cease, I would say so. I mean, I doubt they get rid of Giolito, but I mean, he's not signed long term, so
listening.
Maybe. But
I'm listening on most.
Hey, I would listen on everybody, but I would just accept few. Yes. I mean, it's.
I hear you.
I think gutting the team would be stupid, and I think gutting the team just doesn't feel like this team's MO, especially with the way the AL Central is. But I have no faith in buying this team. I have no faith in, hey, let's give up all of our prospects, the 3 prospects we have, you know, try to start a fire and try to, you know, get this team going with some talent. But again, the issue isn't talent. The issue is the talent playing and the way the talent's playing, and it's been substandard.
And the thing is, like, more teams are in it, so less teams will be selling, more teams will be buying. So the White Sox don't have the better options for the teams who are buying there, because Colston Montgomery is going to be your best chip there. Sosa or Sanchez, those are not eye-popping deals. Sheets, not eye-popping guys. They're not going to get you anything that's going to turn this season around. So I say if they see that this ain't going right, Josh Harrison has to leave. Not because he's a bad guy, just he has value.
Yeah.
and all those other players who have value in 1 or 2 year deals might have to bounce too.
Well, and Josh is asking, Jose Abreu on an expiring contract in 34 to 35 is an untouchable. If Jose Abreu wants to leave, then you trade him. But outside of that, I would not get rid of him on this team.
Wants to play like for a championship, and he comes up to you and says, this team is dead. Fuck this team. Get me somewhere else. Yeah, Rick Hahn, you probably go to teams and say, hey, man, who can you give me for Jose Abreu?
Yeah, if Jose Abreu doesn't want to be on the White Sox, get rid of him. But if Jose Abreu wants to be on the White Sox,
you keep him, I think for life.
It would be stupid to get rid of that legend and that important player, and especially right now, your best player. And I still think, again, getting rid of your best player in a very, very weak division is stupid because Jose Abreu, hey, maybe he can carry you to the postseason. Maybe he has a real hot August. He usually does.
That's
we'll see.
I'd
really be shocked if they traded Jose Abreu this year. And that Yaz contract is wild. Yes, it is. It's the largest in franchise history. So hopefully he starts hitting soon. But that injury's pretty crazy, too.
I've had a pinched nerve in my neck where my left arm just didn't work anymore. Like, I couldn't lift it up like here. It was hurting. I'm lifting it up like almost 90 degrees with the arm and the tricep. It was just pinching. I couldn't do anything. I lost all power, and he's an athlete, so that would be even worse. Like, not be able to move your left leg as a hitter.
Right.
That's his catcher. Like, that's his plant leg on his – or is his back leg on his – where he's hitting for the most part. And then his plant leg when he's hitting right-handed. So, yeah, it's a problem. Right. And it doesn't just go away. You need to do chiropractic work. You need to do other work. Drugs, all that stuff.
Well, and
ease it away.
And not funny, but just kind of telling. Adverse right-handed pitching. Well, I guess it would be his left one would be his back leg for...
Left-handed, yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, I had this wrong. Because versus left-handed pitching, he hasn't had a home run yet. But he had two against right-handed pitching.
That means
he would have been batting left-handed. So, hey, what do I know? I'm not a doctor.
That's where you shift your weight to, your plant leg. So it makes sense.
Yeah. That's Herb Lawrence. He's a doctor. You can follow him on Twitter at Ecknerwall23.
Play one on podcast.
I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show on Twitter at @CHGO_White Sox. We were joined by Vinny Duber from Guaranteed Rate Field. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's a CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can check out all of his work at allchgo.com, and you can become a member there. Members get brand new free t-shirt, and we have 3 brand new styles for you to check out as well when you are getting your free t-shirt. So thank you very much for hanging out with us on the CHGO White Sox post-game show. Thank you to Steven Nicholas for your help producing. The White Sox lose 8-2. We will see you tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. for a live pregame show to see if the White Sox can avoid the sweep. Thank you to Steven Nicholas for your production, and thank you to Fleetwood Mac for their 1979 album, Tusk. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and go White Sox. Thank you.